will need notes, by the way. Does everybody have notes? If you don't, I'm sure we have some young men that can help you. All right, has everybody found notes? Do you have a Bible? Could you open your Bible? Let's open it to the very beginning of 1 Corinthians. Last Sunday morning, we just got started. And by the way, today we're going to take this another step, two steps. I hope you're ready to interact. My daughter told me, so I will say it. I'm going to have to say it's true, even though I never like to agree with my daughter. That's rule number one. That I can be intimidated. Now, you all have to understand something. That's your impression of me. That's not how I feel. But I realize I'm used to, and I'm using this term a little differently, I'm used to arguing. I don't mean yelling, screaming, and spitting. I'm talking about working through ideas with a lot of people. Just my normal demeanor. That's the, by the way, most of the people I talk to, that's what we talk about, ideas. So, and then some people also like to use that as a good excuse to stay the way they are. I recognize that too. Let's stand together, please. I'm going to continue from where we were last week, broadly on Corinth. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We have three Sundays left in December. I know people will be gone. That's, you know, life in the big city. People have been gone the last month, so this isn't going to change anything. I'm going to try to finish up all of this material the way I think about it. I'll try to finish it up with a grand finale the last Sunday of the month, and then hopefully in January we're going to start in a totally different subject, marriage and child rearing. I would ask all of you, talk to all of your people, because do people have marital problems? Please don't look at your spouse. The answer would be, if you're alive and not a liar, can I say that again? If you're alive and not a liar, you have two people, putting two people together is not easy. And that's apart from sin, meaning doing wrong, this, you know, sinful behavior. We'll also deal with child rearing. I'm not going to teach, or if I do, it'll be very, very rare. I will have somebody else do it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother. A lot of good things there, but we're not really interested in the details in that passage. I'm interested in a concept that starts to be found throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So we know the letter was written to the church at Corinth, in the city. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And then it adds something, and by the way, this is only found to one group of people, Corinth. Because Corinth had, in my opinion, this, you'll be able to tell me if I'm right, Corinth is America. America is Corinth. They had a problem. Look what it says. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, if you have, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at a lot more verses about this, but let's look at 2 Corinthians 1. And by the way, to even speak on this, Dr. Marriott, you'll know because you've been in the ministry a long time, to even mention what I'm going to talk about today is just speaking a non-language. I do not believe that churches should vary a great deal from church to church. But today, if you go to a church, good luck finding a church that even looks remotely biblical. And somewhere along the line, the idea that You can't go to a church that you like. A church actually is based on something. Do you know what it's based on? We could call it a couple things. Scripture, or we could call it this. How about this? Apostles' doctrine. Paul then says again, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And then he adds this again, with all the saints which are in all the chaos. So minimally he's telling you, I'm writing this book to you, but this book is not just about you. It's about... Why do you have to tell somebody that? Because people believe they are unique and special. Which is, by the way, in my opinion, there's only one problem at Corinth. That's it. And it manifests itself all over the place, because once you have a group of people that think, I'm unique, we're different, we don't have to listen, it's our church, we're a whatever. Well, that's what you have. Let's start. We'll pray and we'll get started this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time in Christ's name. My goal this morning is simple. Some of it's going to be interactive for you. Last week, we talked about the big issue of the book of Corinth in your notes. I spent an hour or 45 minutes talking about it. The first six chapters is Paul addressing hidden problems. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions, schisms among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, or about you. Peri means about you or concerning you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, which is a strange expression, meaning people connected to a woman by the name of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So, everyone look at me. The real, when he starts his book, there's no gossip, by the way. Gossip is when you're gossiping with your friend and you don't have the other people included. Paul doesn't do any gossip. There's Paul. There's the church. And the other people are included. And the problem is they wanted some answers to questions, but they didn't want anybody to know what was really going on. And can I say this? This is very common. So that's the first six chapters, but you find it all through the book. The next section, of course, Paul does answer some questions that they sent to him. Occasionally, especially one or two places, it's hard to know exactly what the question is. Starting in chapter 7, we dealt with this last week. Now concerning Peri-Dei, repeated over and over. The things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornications, or more appropriately, fornications, all varieties, because we create new varieties. He said, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. That's the general command. By the way, look at me, everybody. But it's not to Corinth. To every church, every place. And Corinth is not unique. Corinth is to be like all of those churches every place. Now, it's way too late in the game for us even to discuss this. Dr. Merritt, you're of similar age to me. When I was in St. Louis pastoring, I still remember when I got a brochure. Bigger, taller than this, but about this size. It looked like a golf bag. And it was made of the highest quality kind of paper. Very thick stock, very nice. It had a golf bag on the front, and it said this on the front. I'd rather be golfing. But instead, I'm starting a church. I know you had these kind of things, because it was Willow Creek spreading nationwide. By the way, creating church. You will not hear the Bible. They literally said, you will not hear anybody say, please open your Bible. Do you understand if anybody said this, this is what you should do. Stand up, turn around, walk out. We have them on every street corner in this area. That's just an example. Now, the whole problem, next in your notes, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. This probably interests me because I like to understand. The whole problem of the whole catastrophe is this in your notes. Corinth had many fractures, fault lines. But primarily, here's what it was. They thought they were unique. I'll say this in this case. But Paul, we're Corinth. So repeatedly throughout the book, directly and in many ways indirectly, which we won't have time to discuss, Paul addresses, you're not unique. If you're a Christian, you have to base your life on the teaching of the apostles, not on your good opinions, your feelings, what your poppy told you, your grandpappy, or anybody else. You have to base what you believe on something that means something. And by the way, if you want to find out if a church has a problem, ask them a question about what they do. And if you get anger, you know you got a problem. Because you should get scripture. You're going to get a lot of anger. Hatred. Back in the dark ages, you'd get kicked out of colleges. In your notes, we've already read 1 Corinthians 1. Let's do 4:17. Paul, talking about something totally different here, says this. 4:17 in your notes. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, or Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach, everybody?
Everywhere, in every church.
Have you tried to find a church on vacation in the last 10 years? First thing I look for a church that I hope. Two things happen. I can somehow make it through the music service.
Right.
And that they actually open the Bible and say, now I'm not talking about quote a verse. I'm talking about open the Bible and preach what's in the text. Do you realize that eliminates 90%, 95% of churches? Oof. Well, look at this. Who is this young, handsome guy? Junior. You owe me something. What do you owe me? You know what he owes me.
It's good now.
Oh, no, no. You're not too old for that, Junior. Good to see you, buddy. Leah, not so good to see you, but that's okay.
Thank you.
This summer, we were on vacation, went to two churches. One church would be similar to ours, different. First of all, it was in the UP. That makes it totally different right there. Anything that far north makes it different. Secondly, but good music, great. People, our kind of people, meaning Bible believers, preaching good. Then we went to the second one. The first thing that disturbed me was the guy had to give his testimony in his shorts. I didn't really want to see a guy legging in church. Okay, I don't know if it's wrong. It just irritates me. The second thing is the music. I didn't know a single song they sang. And here's what you don't know. They're contemporary, of course. Which means if you came there 2 years ago, you don't know what they're singing now either. They have to keep being contemporary. After a while, you don't have a hymnology that you sing with anybody. I survived the hymnology. My wife put her hand on me. You say, was the music bad? Honestly, it was not terrible. It was just unknowable, unsingable, and not interesting. And in 3 years, nobody will sing a single song they played. Can I ask you a question? Do you think Christianity started with you and your feelings? If you do, welcome to Corinth. You say, I like that kind of music. Look at me. Dr. Marriott, please forgive me. Do not hold this against me. For me, I'd like to have Led Zeppelin. Or Jimi Hendrix. Or The Who. Or ZZ Top. I mean, I like hard rock. What's that got to do with anything? Well, I thought Christianity didn't start with us. I would think we might sing hymns that are older than 15 minutes. I guess not. By the way, I'm not opposed to new music. Here's some good new music out there. There it is. And sung properly, it can be quite nice. We sing some of it here. We sing it our way, though. You probably don't know that. We don't have drums yet. Pastor Clark wants to, but I said no. We better hurry up. I have to get to the second part, which is interactive more with you. chapter 7, verse 17. Now Paul is talking about this whole subject of marriage. Should you get married, not married? I consider this a very important section. Paul says, but as God has distributed to every man or every person, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in Corinth. You're not, by the way, I didn't give you all of it. Corinth had many fractures up above in fault lines, but primarily the thought they were unique are, let me give it in Pastor Warren language, could make it up as they go along. We just make it up. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16, you have again the same concept. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I mean, all the churches of God practice a certain way. Now, friends, please look at me. This is my last comment on this, except the next section. Please look at me. When I was a young man in the United States Navy, are you listening? This is, I'm not old. I'm older. But when I was your age, I could find a church any place in America, almost any town of any size, similar to us, and go to church. Do you realize that is not the case today? And I'm not talking, we don't do anything weird here. We read the Bible, we preach the Bible, we pray, we sing, we have fellowship, we, you know, normal stuff. I had never been to a place I couldn't find a church at least you could be comfortable for a week, for like Sunday. America has become Corinth while shouting about how wonderful we are. You'll find this out if you haven't already experienced it. And you say, Pastor, I like that music. I've already told you what I like. I guess my music's not contemporary enough. All right. The strongest passage in all of the New Testament about this subject, I will not get into the details of what it all means because that's not the point of this morning, is 1 Corinthians 14:33, of which the King James has wrong punctuation, which is obvious even reading the King James. Okay, even when you read it, you realize it's not punctuated properly. Verse 33, Paul says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, what? Well, that's the next line. He is basing part of what he's teaching. He says, this is what all the churches do. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. And then he not only roots that in the common practice of all Bible-believing churches, apostolic churches, but he says the Old Testament teaches the same. He says, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in church. Now, I don't have time to discuss this. It's talking about public preaching. Fred Moritz had the best quote. Dr. Merritt, do you know that quote about, it's like watching a pig walking on their hind legs? Do you know that quote? He could always quote that. I don't know it.
I thought he said it.
It was something about, when you see it done, you're shocked to see it done at all. By the way, most churches have women preachers now. I'm assuming you know that. You say, why? Look at me in the eyes. It's real simple. That's what we do in America. Well, Paul says, that's not the practice of the churches. That's not what the Old Testament teaches. Verse 36, he asked a pretty strong question. What? Came the word of God out from you? Otherwise, are you the origin or the source of Scripture? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, and by the way, there are many people that do, are spiritual, let him acknowledge that these things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's apostolic authority, wrapped in the Old Testament authority, wrapped in the practice of the churches, obviously. Then he concludes by saying, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And by the way, sometimes you just have to wash your hands of certain things. Chapter 16 is one of his questions, but again, he roots the answer in the same principle, which is what? Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. Otherwise, he says, you know, I've already taught this. I've already laid this down. The churches of Galatia know about this. I want you to do exactly what they do. And he goes on, first day of the week, let every man, this is talking about the giving money to help people that were in poverty, believers. Let everyone lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Probably, well, you've already read the first one. So, everyone look at me. Got the principle? If you come to me with your wonderful ideas and it has nothing to do with Scripture, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your feelings, your emotions, the kind of music you like. But the pressure is on for every pastor. I read a statement. Dr. Mary, I might send it to you. It's a history statement out of the book of English history I was reading last night. Talked about a king and said when he was alive, people obeyed him. The moment he died, they totally forgot him. One of these days, this old geezer will move on, probably to eternity. What's going to happen to the next one? All right. When I came here 30 years ago, the largest fundamentalist church in the Chicagoland area was Bethel Baptist Church. And today does not remotely look like a fundamental church. And if somebody commented that has connections there, they said, we don't really know who we are. That's Frank Bumpus died, Brad Smith got beheaded, and then you have a couple of guys in between that are no comment. Can I say this to you? A Christian orients his life. Is everybody clear on the Scripture? By the way, every Christian does. So here's the beautiful thing. If you go to a Bible-believing church outside of America, it's amazing how similar they are. Spanish, I've been in Spanish-speaking churches. I've been in churches in India, which don't even speak English, and they're still very similar to us. It's only when you decide, I create my own religion, which, by the way, one step behind that is I create my own gender and everything else that comes with it. Because you are now in charge of you, your feelings, and that's okay, but it doesn't have anything to do with reality. Now, what I want to do now is move on. This will give you an opportunity to think about some things, to what I call some basic guiding principles. 1 Corinthians 6. We started here last week. We mentioned this. Paul makes this statement at the bottom of the first page of your notes. All things are what?
Lawful.
By the way, everyone look at me. That is not what Paul believed at all. That would have been this. One of their slogans. Or you can use whatever word you like. Slogan is the word. We're going to spend the rest of this morning, you, helping with slogans. Because really, we now live in a country where Scripture means nothing. Because most people have never read 1 Corinthians. They have never spent 3 days thinking about a verse, let alone 3 years. Everything in their life is up for grabs. So they live their life by slogans. Hey, all things are lawful for me. Paul, why do you question my homosexual behavior? By the way, that's the previous verse. Two verses, three verses, 9, 10, 11, not in the notes. Why are you questioning? All things are lawful. As long as, well, we love each other. You recognize slogans? Well, we're in love. How about this one? We're not hurting anybody. Correct? By the way, in our circles, divorce is frowned upon normally. There might be reasons for divorce. You know, I want to say clearly, Dr. Merritt, not trying to offend you, I am for divorce rather than murder. People, they kill. No. Divorce. But do you really believe that you can do anything and it won't affect anybody? By the way, Gin Rush, where'd you go? You have children that grow up in dysfunctional homes in your little K-5, right? Emily, how about you in second grade? Folks, I don't even like to ask questions in my high school class because I don't know whose people's parents are. But it doesn't affect the kids, does it? Does it? Oh, no, everything is good, Pastor Paul, please. All things are lawful for me. By the way, that was a slogan. he's going to pick up on that again, same verse. But he says, this will be next week. All things are not expedient. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Which page, please? Obviously, here is another slogan. This one's even rougher. I'm looking around the room. I do need to make sure we have no children here. I'm not going to say anything inappropriate, but children don't need to hear it. The next one gets right down where we live. Let's make it modern English, please. Food for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Is that a true statement?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. By the way, last night, Taquito, last night, do you have any idea where I took Dr. Marriott?
Pretty good.
He did not have any in the quesadilla, by the way, just so you know. He didn't have any because I felt like it was too salty. But he did have, I never understand the difference between molida and picadillo. Is it picadillo? Some people use it interchangeably, ground beef, by the way, folks, but some people use it interchangeably. Some people use one if they, but he had picadillo. He was good. I'm looking around here. There's only about two people even know what I'm talking about. Pozole. Yes, and I put some nice hot stuff in it. It was quite nice. By the way, do you eat?
Yes.
Jamie, please don't do that again, Jamie. By the way, do you eat? So they're saying, hey, God created my stomach for food, and he creates food for my stomach. Do you understand the immediate implication of sexuality? I have sexual parts. Well, let's see what Paul says. Are you getting down? Look at me. Do you understand slogans? I'll get to some of yours, and you will help me with more, I hope. He says, yeah, but God shall destroy, and this is not negative altogether, both it and them. I mean, it's not eternal, your stomach and food. But he goes on to say, but the body is not for fornication. No. Yeah, sexuality is normal within a marriage, friend. It's the way God intended. But your body wasn't made for immorality, friend. It was for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Please don't quote your little slogans. What I'm going to do is now, you notice zero, because this isn't really a principle to live by. This is recognizing, before I ever get to Bible principles, there's all kinds of principles that people live by that have nothing to do with the scripture. And we love, there it is. We love these little slogans, these little quotes. Has everybody looked at them? Now, the real question is, what is your slogan? Everybody, what is your slogan? So when you hear something you don't want to obey, what do you say to yourself? That's your slogan. Hello? You say, do people have slogans? I want to say this. Very few people read the Bible at the level of studying. Like, I don't know what happened. This is another thing that I don't understand. I don't understand Christians that don't read the scripture. I grew up in a church, and I pastored my first church for 8 years. Old people, all a generation older than my parents. The small group, they knew the Bible better than most pastors. They had read it their whole life, and they were dead serious about it. King James, by the way. I'm not trying to be mean here, because we're not a King James-only church. You all know that. But my point is, I don't care what you read. You've got to read something, and it has to become part of you. Slogans. Well, I'm going to give you a couple. I tried to put them in groups. It's hard to do this. The first one on the left, we'll start left, go down, is the one that I like the least. Somebody tell me what it is.
That's just the way I am.
All right, so everybody look at me. What's the problem with the slogan? There's a song. Dave, I sent it to you. The song is called The Truth. Remember the song? I sent it to you. Good-looking woman sings a contemporary Christian song. And she's attractive. That helps. Does all the things. Somewhere in the song, she says, God looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. Now, you hear that in church for a year.
Why did he die for us?
Well, but forgetting that, they're going to say they're saved, but you're telling me at your stage, God is happy with everything about you. Now, I got a question. How do you stop people from playing this game? Forget people, yourself. Though it doesn't have to be about you. How do we stop it? I see it in Sunday school. It doesn't make a difference what I say. People look at me like, oh, Pastor, that's nice. I would like to just teach the principles. They are worthless until you get to your slogans. Whatever your slogans are. Whatever they are. This is the one that I have seen from half a dozen people at Lake County through the years. That's just the way I am. So I preach this. I can still remember. I preached a sermon on meditation. I taught on the rule of law in Sunday school, meditation in church, you know, the conversations you have with yourself. And I had a woman, and that was the last time she's been here. She was having the conversation with herself while I was preaching on the conversation. Those are the slogans. Do you understand the slogans? Well, let me give you another one. This one's a good one. You had, by the way, I'm not going to give you any blanks here. But I'm a ethnic group. Have you heard that one? Pastor Warren, that's nice for you white people. But I don't care what you are. You know, I've talked to people who said, well, drinking is part of our culture. I want to take a breather. The biggest producers of beer in history in the United States have all been Germans. So please don't talk to me about drinking your beer, okay? You know, Fred Mars grew up in Peoria. It used to be the world capital, that in Milwaukee, were the two world capitals of beer, and they were all German places. And I said, yes, but St. Louis beat you out. Budweiser. Have you done, by the way, look at me. Have you mentioned that to yourself? That's nice, Pastor Warren, but I am, therefore this doesn't, by the way, here's our problem. Christianity applies the same every place. Now, I know there can be cultural differences. We have them, food differences, all that's beautiful. Well, let me give you another one. I've heard this one a lot. But Pastor, you just don't know my background. Jamie, you're looking at me funny. You've not had anybody say that to you. Or say it under their breath. Pastor, look at me. Because you do know you're the only person that ever had the problems that you have. And I could come here, listen, the best Christian I've ever pastored was probably Gladys Ferguson. Gladys Ferguson grew up in a home. Now, Gladys died at the tender age of 97. Her husband died at the tender age of 95. Bill never got out of Illinois and Missouri in his life, and he was happy. I've been to Missouri, I've been to Illinois. That's as far as I want to go. Country people. So when you talk to me about your background, which everybody, by the way, does anybody not have a background here? I grew up with a father that I love. He's now gone, but look at me, folks. He has some anger issues that most of you wouldn't grasp. Have you ever been shot at by your father? Anybody, raise your hand. That was my dad. Violence was his middle name until he was much older. Coming out of the Great Depression, coming out of World War II, coming out of the Korean War, he had major problems. But Gladys, he had little problems. Her dad was highly abusive. She said to me when she was in her 80s, she said, my brother still carried the scars of childhood, physical scars. Finally, the mother had had enough. Bill and Gladys had moved away, had a little farm. The mother moved in with Bill and Gladys. The father got in his pickup truck with his 12-gauge, drove over to the house, walked up on the porch with the 12-gauge, and blew his head off in front of the whole family. How are you doing? In World War II, her younger sister moved to St. Louis and disappeared. By the way, you say, do you not know everybody has a background? Yes or no? Isn't that what God does, is bring us past that stuff? No? I thought. say, you're preaching. No. Here's my problem. I can say it right here, but we're... Remember, you can speak quicker to yourself than I can speak out loud. So whatever I say, you're just spinning it. It's just the way I am because you don't know my background. Well, I've been pastoring a long time. I've met a lot of people's backgrounds. All right, let's open it up. Anybody, give me one of your quotes. Not yours. Give me one of somebody you know's quotes. Please don't give me your own. What else? These are slogans that we say. Ma'am?
I hear all the time, you do you.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that one. That's a good one. You do you. Now, sister, the problem is you'll hear that from Christians, which we go right back to 1 Corinthians, correct? There is no you in the sense of obedience, is there? I like that.
That's my truth, or your truth.
Ah, yeah, that's another one. You do. I hadn't thought of that.
It is what it is.
Hold that thought, Dave. By the way, I like that. That is your truth. If you're an unsaved person, I understand what you're saying. Yes? But if you're a Christian, you're living in a different manner. You're a Bible-based, Bible-centered person. That's your truth, yes. Not our, and of course, the corollary of that is not my truth. And it's not mine. Apostolic doctrine, the teaching of Scripture, doesn't apply to me. I remember I talked to a lady that used to work here long ago. And oh, she hated my guts. The longer she worked here, the more she hated my guts. If you hate my guts, she hated my guts thoroughly. Part of it was her and her husband, and they were going to one of these cultic little churches. Now, of course, today, her and her husband are divorced. One of their children's a lesbian. It goes on and on. And of course, because there was no scripture in this thing, you really can't play these games, but people do. Ade, you said what?
It is what it is.
It, whoops, I can't even spell. It is, and what do you think people mean that to mean, friend?
Whatever.
Who said that? Dave, was that you? No. Well, I had one of those people that some of you like to do this to. Her middle name was whatever. I don't care what you said. Whatever. She's the one that went home one day and said this. By the way, you don't have to like to hear it. She said to her husband, this is the weirdest question that's ever been asked that I've ever heard. Why isn't the television on? Listen, my wife has probably watched television, who knows, 10 minutes in the last 10 years. She does watch TV with me, kind of. We're watching right now The Civil War by Ken Burns, so I guess that kind of, we watch that when we eat sometimes. I like history, she tolerates history. And we have something to talk about that's nothing more than your navel. I think, Ade, is that the same phrase? It is what it is, okay, snow. Okay, it is what it is. You're not going to change Chicago's winter. But whatever. Whenever. By the way, does anybody of their friends rebuke them? Well, of course not. We hug them. So they continue with under the mouth, under the lips, that kind of thing. Go ahead. Who else? Those are hard ones. You guys got the hard ones. I had forgotten the whatever.
It's interesting that those are more vague. They're not even specific, so you can apply it. They're just vague. Whereas other things are more specific.
But they're nice ways of what? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. We don't have enough time. My goodness, what happened to time? Let me go down to a few others. These are different. These are totally different kinds. I'm so happy that they're in a better place. Oh, if I hear that one more time. You're on your 14th marriage. I'm happy that you're in a better. Is this not our culture now?
Mm-hmm.
My favor was, somebody said to me, well, God wants me to be happy. One guy said to me, as he followed his wife around all over the known world, when mom's not happy or when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Scripture didn't really enter into discussion. It was just simply that. How about this one? I prayed about it. I'm waiting.
But I did.
Yes, that's another one. I don't know if I wrote that. By the way, this is a read this goes on forever and ever. I have peace about it. Yes. Thank you, Rhonda. Rhonda, are these yours or someone else's that you know?
Oh, I couldn't say.
Can I say this to all of you? There's some real religious stuff from the Keswick movement that focused you need to have peace about things. Here's the thing you need to grasp. Are you ready? Jonah was totally at peace running from God.
That's right.
He was totally sleeping as well as anybody could sleep. Now be careful with that. How can we never have enough time? Go to the next page. Let me give you, we'll come back. I guess we'll have to come back to this next week. By the way, can I ask you a question? Is this helpful to you? Let me ask you a thing. Do you realize most discussions never happen? Hello? Mm-hmm. Dr. Murray, did you answer out loud to everybody? Did not you and I talk about this issue months back, and then you sent me some information on these Romans 14, 1 Corinthians, correct?
Right.
Why haven't I dealt with some of that? If you don't get to the slogans, everything else is just a waste of time. Because you have a little slogan that it just, that's nice, but I don't know what all the slogans are. Let me give you just a couple of quick thoughts about this. We won't finish these. We will do these next week. Beware of slogans or cliches. That's all of us. And I say in your notes next, slogans that eliminate discussion. You have to understand, what's the purpose of the slogan? What's the purpose?
Shut down the conversation.
It also eliminates the Bible. Pastor Warren is loud. Pastor Warren is long. Pastor Warren is mean. Okay, you have just used a nice slogan that does real good for making you feel real good about you, but what's changed? Have you interacted with Scripture? I'm going to pick on Bambi because she's here. Dr. Murray, this is for you. She says, sometimes I get loud in preaching. I honestly don't recognize it. So, she loves Dr. Saxon, of course. Everybody loves Dr. Saxon. So she was listening to him, you know, preach at Maranatha. And she said to me one day, he gets loud too. It is loud or soft. And by the way, if Saxon was here, you would like him exactly like you like me. Because you would prefer, I'm not picking on you. We all prefer this. Well, I'm old. I'm tired. I'm cranky. We got all kinds of these little things that we spin. Here's my point, friend. Here's where we stop. You are not unique, nor any Christian you have ever met. All of us are under obligation to follow Christ and his teaching, his commands, which are fleshed out by the apostles. Secondly, beware of slogans, because you don't need the Bible and you don't have a discussion. You just continue. We'll pick up here next week. Maybe we'll just focus on this, I guess. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Make sure you
put the last 24 hours of my life.
You're going to give me a proclamation.